Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are followers. Followers by nature and hopefully followers by choice. The choice following becomes more important for us. It becomes essential. It's a decision that we make. A mindset that we have. A willingness to say that we value someone, something, enough to follow. Anytime we say we follow, that is what we are saying. I pray for each person in this room this day who sit here this morning because we have made a statement of faith somewhere along the line that somehow indicates that we are followers of yours. And that means that everything about us changes. And if we are going to be your followers, then everything else we follow needs to reflect that. And so once again, we open up our conversation about how we live in a world where social media drives so much thought, takes so much time, and can create incredible moments where your love is shared and you shine. And also can create moments that rob us of the joy of following you. And so, Lord, we take following very seriously this day. Be with us through this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are in week three of Followers, Faith, and Facebook, which is our conversation really on social media. We're kind of honing in specifically on Facebook, but social media, how it works, how we work in it. Last week, the handout I gave you had to deal with your social media personality. This week, the handout you get really just as a summary of some of those big ideas that we have talked about, and then some descriptions that you have there that if you read them and you're trying to read them like a book, it may not read well, because what I've done is I've just kind of drug them right out of my notes. So they are just kind of bullet point thoughts, if you will, as you kind of unpack those a little bit. So if there's something there that doesn't read quite right or is misspelled, that's why. I dumped it onto a handout for you so you can go back and look. Specifically, the review from last week, we covered these three main ideas. We talked about, you know, understanding social media and the dynamics of each, but we talked about that when you approach social media, remembering what we talked about in week one, how you follow in the online world is just as important as how you follow in the real world. And we talked about why you can't separate them even though people try. Each and every time that you go online, you don't take your relationship with Jesus offline. And again, that becomes important. So then every post, everything that you do, every comment that you make has the potential of being perceived and will influence others one way or the other for Jesus, because that is who we are. That's how we're wired. And we talked about some of the dynamics of that. So building on those ideas, last week we said that anytime you're doing anything in social media, your first goal should be to honor God. And so we talked about what that looks like. We also said that you need to honor others. I mean, that's one of the values of social media, the opportunity you have to interact with others and build each other's lives in an amazing way. That can happen in social media when you understand it. And then the last thing we said is honor yourself, but we cross that out simply because if you're living a life where you want to honor yourself but you're a follower, then it's really about honoring God. And this is about being authentic and letting people see the real you, and let me put that in parentheses though, the transformed real you, meaning that all of us know that deep down inside, no matter how, where we are in the transformation process, we're rats. I mean, we all got dark, nasty sides to us. The world doesn't need to see that. See, and we argue back sometimes because we're Christians. Well, you know, people just have to love me like I am. I don't want people to love me like I am. I want people to love the Jesus in me. Because if it comes to like I am, I'm a rat. I mean, come on. You know, we're not real lovely people. But, you know, because what Jesus does within us, we have something to offer. I was talking with the guys in Drive about gifts. And it was the stories they shared. And again, it was quick, but if you were in there, you know, it's true. I mean, how amazing were some of the things that we just heard? And how cool was it to hear about the gifts that have formed people's lives, that they still remember? I mean, it was brief. You know, those are things that you want to share. Those are things that you want to hold on to. Those are things you want to build on. And so when you're trying to honor God, I want God to use my life for something beyond just taking up space. And we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks in worship, that there's a hero and there's a heroic life that you're called to live. And we say we can't do that. And I said, you need to vacate that space. Because there's bunches of people who've already figured out they can't make a difference. There's bunches of people who are just going through life doing time. You can make a difference. And one of the things that social media can do is it can leverage and give you a platform to really enhance that difference you're making if you do it well and if you do it as a follower. The problem that we have is the same that most in the Christian community have. We either don't know how to do it, we unplug and we don't do it, or we just do it badly for the wrong reasons. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But that's where we've been for the last couple of weeks. Now, so there, with that being said, and now you have that on a handout as well, as always, thoughts, questions, answers about where we've been before we kind of jump in and start rolling into week three of this? Anything residual? Any testimony that you just feel compelled to share? Anything that you've learned, gleaned, not learned or gleaned, but just simply had to struggle through? Because I know you haven't posted it on Facebook. All right. Huh? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some of you have been losing friends on Facebook. You'll know that. All right, let me give you some completely insane social media stats just to get started, and then we're going to kind of jump in and pick up last week. If you remember last week, we were going to talk about some challenges. So this is where we kind of jump back into that conversation. Here's one for you. Over 5 million Facebook users are under the age of 10. Over 5 million, and I'm getting some nods from people who know, over 5 million Facebook users are under the age of 10. This is despite the fact that the legal terms and conditions prohibit anyone from under 13 using the site. So, the question is, where are these children's parents? According to Forbes magazine, 95% of the parents are aware that their kids have accounts and help them set it up. 78% of them have encouraged them to do so. Cool moms of the world, take note. Helping your kids sign up for Facebook is like inviting them to drink in your house. It's just stupid. Doesn't make you a cool parent. Makes you a poor parent. And I say that without any apology at all. Don't do it. And as a parent, one of the few things you do have the opportunity to do now in a day and age where parenting is tough, you can actually control a little bit of how they go online. Use it. Make it work. I mean, if something works, go with it. That is an insane statistic, by the way. So when I make the statement a couple weeks ago that social media is tough for people to use, I got news for you. When parents are letting their kids on and setting up accounts that are illegal by nature, but just incredibly unwise, that's ignorant. That's crazy. That means that some of the people that will connect, and now let's go back to what we talked about, and read and connect to some of those long extended strings of things that get posted out there, might be under the age of 10. How many things have you seen, and I know you would never post them, but that others have posted that ended up getting somehow stuck on your timeline? How many of you would be embarrassed if someone under the age of 10 saw it? And in that moment, it's easy to go, well, they're not supposed to be there. Well, you're supposed to be smarter. Because you got to understand the danger and the risk of this world, and what we've been talking about. That's an insane statistic, if you ask me. Here's another one. This isn't insane. This is just what I said last week. 80% of Pinterest users are women. It is the most gender-defined social media piece out there. Of all the breakdowns on who uses social media, Pinterest swings heavily to the female side. It just is. And so you can go and look and you can see what's out there. And maybe just because white web content, you can figure out why women are driving it. But it's there. The trend is changing a little bit because food is becoming a more popular topic on the site. And guys like food. So the trend will shift over the next few years, but yeah. But let's put it this way. Most guys, when they're talking about their NFL teams and stuff like that, they're not out there pinning pictures of their favorite football players on their Pinterest site to connect with their NFL buddies. Because, well, that's... it ain't real manly. All right. The other stat, and we'll get going. Users spent $1.85 billion on virtual Facebook credits last year. Virtual Facebook credits. That's buying Farmville chickens. That's buying some of the promotional pieces that Facebook offers. That's for some of the gaming that Facebook will let you do. $1.85 billion. Now, remember, we talked about Facebook really lives to make money. It's not. It doesn't. The lie is it's designed to connect you socially. That's not true. Facebook exists to make money. You are secondary in that. But this is a great example of that. At that price, you could have bought 50 private islands or $500 million yachts or a bunch of Farmville chickens. But game credits. $1.85 billion. The money is insane that goes around. That's a crazy stat. Now let's stop. Let's kind of shift gears because stats, we can do stats for the next 2 weeks. Let's not. Let's go back into our conversation last week on challenges, okay? And let's build on what we've been talking about by way of teaching. And you can kind of think through this and kind of connect the dots based on the handout we just gave you, too, of some of these bigger ideas we've been talking about. This would be some of the application challenges, I guess. As we start looking at the implications and the ramifications of what social media can do. In some ways, these would be some now whats based on what we've been talking about up until now. One of the challenges that we face is that Facebook can drag you into the and make you so narcissistic. There is a strong pull in the world of Facebook to assume that you are the center of the world. And we talked a little bit about this when we talked about the way that we honor God, honor others, and honor ourselves. But, I mean, this is that moment where Facebook really becomes all about you telling everybody what you want them to know. What it takes for you to get through a day, how you felt through the course of the day, why this was this, or why your kids are driving you nuts, or why your boss is just driving you crazy, or why you wish that you could, you know, be king of the world, or, you know, all of those kinds of things that somehow move you to the center of the universe. And the other thing that happens there is that in some ways Facebook gives us an opportunity, or social media in general, and we talked about this a little bit, to kind of remake our identity, where we decide that we're going to craft what is a personality out there that we want the world to see. And sometimes we don't do that very, very well. And so one of the things that we need to remember by way of just kind of as we deal with that, to kind of combat that, is that if the rule of thumb is to impact the lives of others, then why don't you talk about other people and encourage them instead of focusing so much on you? I mean, it's the joke. But the reality is, you know, I don't think you care where I ate breakfast. And, you know, hey, here's my attitude. Hey, none of your business. I don't think that you really care about how I feel about college football yesterday. And you know what? Hey, none of your business. I don't think that you care where my favorite places to go are. Nor is it any of your business. I mean, there is a moment where you begin to start talking about the reality of what happens in this whole world of interacting in social media. And Philippians 2, 3 through 4 becomes a great standard for us at this point, where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know, it is the Carly Simon theology. You're so vain, you probably think this verse is about you. It is that moment where do nothing out of self-interest or vain conceit, but in humility, here's the kicker, consider others better than yourself. And each of you should look not only to your interest, but to the interest of others. The big challenge in this environment is learn to be authentic about yourself in such a way that you can promote others and encourage others and strengthen others with what you post. Remember that little spiritual slide I showed you with Jesus' picture at the bottom of it? You know, what am I doing to influence others? When you don't think through it that way, what begins happening is you really become the center of what's happening there, and you're losing the opportunity you have to influence and impact. And so, really make it about others. Make your Facebook world about other people. And you say, well, that's not what Facebook's for. Well, sure it is. Because the only reason you're alive today is for other people. God has given you this day to make an impact in the world. He didn't give you this day to squander. He didn't give you this day to whittle away. He didn't give you this day to do what you want to do. He gave you this day to step out and live. Do it. And live your life in such a way, even in the social media world, that impacts the kingdom of God. It's not about you. In the spiritual world, in life, and certainly not in the social media world, it's not about you. Don't make it about you. The other thing, Facebook is a fabulous place to waste time. Fabulous place to waste time. You know, the problem is I don't have time to waste. But I'm amazed at how easily the online world will convince you that you've got 15 more minutes. Or you've got 30 more minutes. And our society has this dying need to always be contactable. In other words, always in contact. Connected. The thought of being disconnected makes us nervous. It feels strange to us. For some of you, how panicky do you get or frustrated you get when you don't get cell phone coverage somewhere? You're trying to find a bar. You know, I mean, we get wiggy about that. We get upset about that. The number of times that people check Facebook as opposed to the number of times that people go to God's Word is disproportionate and upside down. Here's the deal. Facebook, social media, will suck the time out of your life. In a very practical sense, I don't want to stand before God one day and have to say to Him, well, God, I know You gave me X number of years. I don't want to stand up before Him and say, and I wasted so much of them online. A challenge for you, if you're really looking for a way to start applying and kind of making it work, and it sounds stupid, but I'll give it to you anyway. Don't check your Facebook page on any given day before you crack open the Bible and spend time with God. In other words, make your default, not your Facebook page, not your Twitter account, not your social media stuff. Make sure that happens after you start in God's Word. And make sure that God's Word gets more time. And if you really want to balance this out and start getting it right, make sure that for every time you're checking Facebook on any given day, you're spending just as much time or more time in God's Word. And I guarantee you, if you struggle with Facebook and social media, if you're hitting your Facebook page and you're balancing it with Scripture, you'll get better at posting on Facebook. You'll get better at tweeting. You'll get better at handling social media. And so it is a huge waste of time. Make sure you're recapturing the time and make the rule of your life that no social media consumes more of you than the Word of God. For some of you, that would be a radical shift. For some, that's huge. The flip side of that would be that, my goodness, you'll have so much time to read the Bible, and you'll be reading stuff and discovering stuff that you never knew before. That will be awesome. And it'll also make you better in the world of social media. It's a challenge, no doubt about it. Because for some of you, you get nervous. And for some of you, you're on a lot. And I got a feeling that a lot of us are on social media sites more than we're in the Word of God. Our posts show it. And the world knows it. And that rhymes, but it's not supposed to be funny. I'm just a poet and don't know it. I could keep going, but I won't. But the idea is, make sure that the Bible gets, God gets the priority. Another problem, that challenge that we have to overcome and learn to turn back to our advantage, just like we have to become, understand that that Facebook can be an outlet to make an impact and to promote others, not ourselves. Just like we can learn to use Facebook to balance out and help us to discover more about God by balancing out and balancing it with the Bible a bit. But here's the other thing that happens. Facebook poses great limitations on relationships. I mean, I meet people frequently, and it's alarming how frequently this occurs, who will say that their relationships are tanking because one of the other people they're in relationship with are on Facebook or social media too much. I mean, it happens frequently. And you say, no, yeah, it really does. And Facebook also immediately puts a cap on relationships because written words often lack the meaning that we want them to. You ever written an email to someone and what you said, you just wrote, but the person that read it through a filter and added their own emotion, their own inflection, and their own issues to what you wrote, and came away thinking you had said something that you just never intended to say. What you said was blah. What they heard was blah. So your blah has become a blow up. And if some of you have dealt with me over the years and know that, you know, anytime that you start, you know, kind of going back and forth with Facebook and you start trying to, you know, kind of playing that, you know, that chit chat kind of thing, eventually, I don't do that very long. You know, eventually, if it's something that we're not seeming to be resolved or getting the right answer to, there's a phone call coming. Because, I mean, you want to hear the inflection, you want to hear the tone, you want to hear what's being said, and you want to be able to have that, a real conversation, not a social media interaction. And we can use online space at times to try to sort out problems that make the problems worse. We can share opinions that get blown out of place. We can share what becomes a statement that becomes gossip. And what we do is we try to relate to people, and we think we're relating in healthy ways in the world of social media. That doesn't happen. That's the jumbo shrimp mentality. It's not oxymoron. It doesn't happen. You have no meaningful relationships in the world of social media. None. And if you have a meaningful relationship with someone and then you're extending it into the world of social media, then this is where you can enhance it and make it better. But you really have no meaningful relationships in the world of social media. Facebook friends are not your friends. They're not your followers. And they don't like you that much. And if you really want to cultivate a friendship enough to get to know somebody face-to-face, not in the social media world. I mean, if it's about relationship for you, do it that way. Because while it is a great gift, if used properly, because we let it define the way we do relationships, it tanks our life. I mean, for some of you, social media is so big and bothersome that you don't really relate to real people as well as you should anymore. And that's tough. I mean, that's a hard place to be. But I got news for you. You've got to set parameters and boundaries on it. Some of you know me well enough to know that this is true, and it's frustrated you at times, and I can live with that frustration, by the way, because you understand what I'm going to say about this. But when I leave here at the end of the day, a couple of things are going to happen. Here's the first one. I will not check email. When I walk out of my office at the end of the day and you email me, here's the cool thing. I won't even be able to access it. I would if I could if we set it up. I have not set it up that way on purpose. I don't want to hear from you. If it's an emergency, call me. That's fantastic. Which means I'm not going to check email, which also, here's another little fun part of that. I'm not on a computer. Now, I have an iPad because I be Jeff. And it's a gift that you guys gave me. And so I can access it at home. But as a general rule, I don't. Doesn't happen. I don't get home at night and power up an iPad or a computer and sit in front of it. Because I don't want to be connected. Why? Because I need to be home. So here's the deal. When you get home, turn it off. Or set up a short window, do what you got to do, be done with it, move on with your day. Relate, live, talk to your kids. Talk to a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, pick up the phone, call somebody else. But get real interaction, but set parameters in your life. Don't let technology rule who you are. In other words, use it as the tool it was created to be. Scripture says, Matthew 5:13-16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. It gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before men. I think that we ought to live louder for God, and we ought to shine louder for God, and we need to shine louder for God in the people that we relate to. I don't think you can do that effectively in social media if you're not doing it effectively in real life. So turn it off. Hey, if I email you, I don't expect to hear from you till the next day, sometime a normal parameter. I mean, if I haven't heard from you when I walk out the door, I figure I'm not going to hear from you the next day. If it's important, I'll call you. You can call me. Some of you will text me. That's fine. I do respond to texts from time to time, but not always. Because some of you know that you'll call me the next day. Hey, did you get my text? Yep. And I usually just wait. Oh. It's usually wait to hear back. And then you kind of click through the... And he didn't text me back on purpose because he was doing something else. It's not personal. It's just he didn't text me. I mean, if you text me with something that's not a crisis, I don't feel compelled to text you back. I just don't. It has nothing to do whether I love you or not. It has everything to do with living life. People find it amazing that I can actually say, I didn't check my phone. I didn't have my phone with me. Well, where was your phone? Well, it's a lot of times at night, it's in the console of my car. It sits right up above the gear shift, and there's a little slot there that I can set it in while I'm driving because, you know, you can't text when you drive. Now, the joy of phones today is you can speak it, and you can still actually get away with that, but I don't do that. So it can sit there, and so, you know, I'll answer it if I'm driving. But you know what happens when I get home? Sometimes I'll throw the car in gear, start getting my stuff out, and it will sit right there. And somewhere about 9:30, I'll go, ooh, where's my phone? And I'll go out to the car and fish out the phone, and there's usually missed calls and text messages. And if you don't leave me a message, I figure that it's not that important. So if I see a missed call, but you don't leave me a message, I figure, okay, you're going to call me back later. I don't call you back. Now, some would say, well, that's rude. Okay, so be it. I'm rude. But I refuse to be held captive by this little phone. I don't have Facebook on my phone. I don't have Twitter on my phone. I could. My phone is smarter than I am. I could do all of those things. I don't want to. It's not necessary. I can have a fulfilled life without that and still be able to interact in a social media world. So you've got to remember that the challenge here is use Facebook, social media, Twitter as a tool to enhance the lives of others and use it as a tool that lets you be more complete. Now, that's not you saying, I got to have it to be complete. That's use it as another way that people can connect to you and dictate the control of how you connect with them. See, social media for people means instant access. I'm not so sure that's healthy. The instant access that you need in your life is with the Heavenly Father. He has instant access with you. There are people in your world that you want to give as much as possible instant access to. Family, close friends, you know, whatever that short list of people is, then so be it. I mean, you make those calls. But everybody else, I don't need it. And so you have to start looking and kind of setting parameters in your life to figure out how that works. Next challenge. Facebook addiction. Social media addiction. Snorting it right down there. I'm sure none of this applies to you. Or maybe it does. Last year, in the Journal of Broadcasting Electronic Media, a survey was taken trying to find out what motivated people to use social networks. Now, researchers had known for some time that internet browsing was driven by five primary dimensions. Now, this is just internet use. And this has kind of been known for a long time. What drives people online is this: a hunger for more information, a desire to express yourself, a need to communicate with others, a longing for entertainment, or a need to pass the time. Now, everything else kind of falls under those categories of internet use. That's why people go online. And it can be weighted one way or the other, in healthy ways or unhealthy ways. That's simply just, those are the five. That's what it is, what it is. So this research project was designed to see if the things that drove people into general internet use translated into the world of social media. In other words, if those are five things that drive you online, just in general, are those the five things that drive you online to connect in the social media world? And so they analyzed which of those five factors played the biggest part in social media, and here's what they learned, and I'll summarize what they learned. And this comes from the Journal of Broadcasting Electronic Media, 2012. Essentially, nobody, statistically, nobody was using Facebook to actually seek out information, contrary to some marketers' beliefs. No one hops on Facebook to find out who the best lawyer is. And the other thing they found is a complete side note to this, that all of these businesses out there that have Facebook accounts where they invite you to ask questions of them via Facebook, here's a stunning, this is a stat, 89% of them do not even read the questions if they come via Facebook, much less respond to them. 89% of the questions that come through a business's Facebook site. So if you ever sit there and they go, oh, they got a Facebook site, I'll ask them a question through there. 89% aren't going to look at it. Which means that later on you're going to call them or direct email them for an answer because they're not using it that way. So Facebook is not information driven. Facebook activity was driven mostly by the need for entertainment and a desire to pass the time. So, people just needed something to do. They had nothing better to do with their time. They wanted to be entertained. That's why they went to Facebook. People with a desire to communicate, with a desire, were only moderately drawn to Facebook. And, surprisingly enough, college students was the smallest of this category. If they had a need to express themselves or communicate with someone, proportionally of their study, they were even the smallest group. They don't go to Facebook to do that. That's not why they're going. In short, the research said, for the most part, people weren't using Facebook to connect. They were using it because they were bored. When you are bored, what do you do? Do you ever find yourself sitting around going, well, I've got nothing better to do? Ah, I got to come in. So let me go online. Got to come in. So I'll go check my Facebook page. Check my Twitter account. See who's posted what on Pinterest. I mean, do you have those thoughts that happen in your head or heart? Most people go, according to the research that came out last year, because they were bored. More recent studies come up with something even a little bit more sinister. Because German social scientists just did a research project with Facebook users only, and they discovered that the emotion that was most elicited by Facebook after Facebook experiences, how did people feel when they signed off? The emotion that most frequently was there was envy. Envy. And they went on to say that people who use Facebook frequently tended to feel less satisfied with life after extended social media use. And people who use Facebook consistently and constantly showed a significant drop in life satisfaction, and the emotion that they did not experience as often as those who don't use social media was, and this is the word they used, joy. Now, I look at that and I go, And if you ever ask somebody who's just really into it, why are you there so much? Well, I need it. Why? I just do. That might be an addiction, but what gets them there is that they're bored. And when you're bored, you're curious. I'm now, in my head, I'm thinking of those commercials we showed last week. Don't get an eye patch. You'll end up in a ditch. But that's only what gets you there. Boredom opens the door. You go. And if you go back and think about the things we just talked about, how you tank relationships, how you lose the ability to have impact, how it's such a colossal waste of time, then all of a sudden, what you're going to do and where you're linking your life to fill the time, you walk away feeling less joy. You're envious of others and the world that others have created for themselves. But by the way, if you go back to the social media personalities, it's probably they're lying to you. I mean, you're feeling envious, but they're lying to you. They're not telling you the truth anyway. And so in other words, to excess, Facebook becomes very, very sinister. And it can be defined as a Facebook addiction. There is now officially what is called the Bergen Facebook Addiction Scale. And what they do is they're now testing people to see if they're addicted. And this is the criteria they use. For the following questions, they're asked people to give a response to each one. One is very rarely. Two would be rarely. Three is sometimes. Four is often. Five is very often. And these are the questions. You spend a lot of time thinking about Facebook or planning how to use it or when you go on it or when you're going to go on it next. So you would rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5. Second question, you feel an urge to use Facebook more and more. So in other words, you're looking for more opportunities to use Facebook. You feel like you want to use Facebook more than you do. You wish you had more time for Facebook. You will use Facebook in order to forget about your personal problems and or parentheses or share your personal problems with others. You feel the need on Facebook, in other words, to tell someone you had a bad day. You feel the need on Facebook to tell someone you had a bad day and this is what you had to do to survive your day. You felt the need to go on Facebook and share with other people something about a loved one, a friend, relative, spouse, child that was driving you nuts so everyone could jump on and say things like, ah, been there, brother. Ah, with you, sister. Ah, so sorry, understand. And we do it under the guise of, it's my lifeline to other people. We build lifelines out of silly string in the world of social media. You've tried to cut down the use of Facebook without success. In other words, you've sat here and listened to a bozo like me for a number of weeks say, you know, you just got to be careful with it, you got to be wise. And you walk away going, I need to get a handle on that. I'm going to do better tomorrow. Ah, it's just today. Now, you know, I was going to do better, but I'm going to try. But I need to do this. And you can't rein it back under control. You become restless or troubled if you're prohibited from using Facebook. In other words, if you've been disconnected, you're jonesing to get back and connect and see what's going on. You use Facebook so much that it has negative impact on your job or studies. And we talked about that already. I mean, how this stuff never goes away. And the guy that put the thing together, his name is Anderson, and his colleagues suggested that scoring often or very often in at least 3 of the 6, so 4 or 5 on at least 3 of these, may suggest that you are on the verge of being addicted to Facebook. If you've said often or very often to 4 of those 6, you actually hit their criteria of being addicted. And that's what it is. They found that various personality traits related to the scale, they found that people who use Facebook end up are neurotic. That there are some areas of their life that have significant holes that need to be filled. And they relate negatively to other people. And so Facebook addiction really is, even though it sounds funny, is a problem. They also found out that people who scored very high in their survey also were very tired. They tended to be cranky, grumpy, and easily angered. And you know why? Because they stayed up too late at night online. Because instead of getting rest, they were substituting the time they should be resting with being online and going on Facebook. And again, the solution is sure, unplug, turn it off, let it go. Easy to say, tough to do. So here, the big challenge for this one is simply this. Maybe it's time to take a break. I know some of you went on a Facebook fast or a social media fast when we did the fasting thing a couple weeks ago. Here's the deal. This week, think about that just a little bit. Next week, I'm going to ask you to do it for a week. I want you to unplug again. So I'll give you a week to kind of get ready for that and to pray through it and to let the people that connect with you frequently that you're going to be out of pocket for a week. And I have a novel idea for you. Turn off the phone. Put it on silent. Make sure the only people to get through are that small list of people that need to get through. Those family, friends, loved ones that have that place in your life that they can get through. But make that decision and make that choice, because if you can't for a short period of time, then you don't have to take the test. It controls you. Now, when it comes to job-related things, I'm not saying that. This is the personal use. This is that personal, that moment where you've got a challenge, the challenge of how to be a follower on Facebook. Not representing a business, not representing a boss, not representing a company that's telling you what you need to be doing at that point. But this is where you have to make that decision and wrestle through it. Because if that bothers you, please understand it shouldn't bother you that much. Especially just say, I'm just going to unplug. I have to unplug for a week. I've got to step back and unplug. I've got to make sure that I can control in my life things that have the potential of controlling me. And the reason to do that is because if you're not careful, the bad side of what we just talked about could happen to you. See, all of the good side and all the good benefit becomes meaningless to us. And we can't do it. Not a week goes by that you do not hear of some interaction, something that happens in the world of Facebook that is so unhealthy and so crazy and so goofy. For followers, we've got to get this right. I mean, we've got to be the ones that really do get this, understand this, and make this work for the kingdom. And as a result, make it work for us. so that we can be who we were created to be. And if we can do that, then we don't go crazy. And so next week we'll pick up and we'll talk about the fact that sometimes, literally, social media could be driving us crazy. Nuts. I mean, certifiable. And what that looks like. And then come back again and look at a few more things to start wrapping this thing up and looking at the challenge of how then, if we can deal with the tough stuff, then how do we take social media, not let it drive us nuts, and then use it in proactive ways in ministry, personal ministry, for the kingdom, and to create an atmosphere in social media that really is godly. And so that's kind of where we'll end up, because I think next week is our last week, isn't it?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Let's pray, and we'll be done. God, we follow. And a strong indicator of how we follow can be found in the way that we use social media. Lord, this is just one of those other areas of our life that falls into that category of just a part of who we are that has to fall under your lordship. Is it easy? No. Is it going to be easy? For some, yes, but for some, no. And one of the reasons that it's not easy is because we've allowed it to become something that it shouldn't have, something that it was never intended to be. So in those ways, it now holds a place that is somewhat like God in our lives. And so this week, begin to lay the groundwork in our lives for us to be able to unplug and step back and catch our breath. And in doing so, allow you to work in our lives and our hearts and show us how that we can then take our world of social media and make it a world that not only honors you, but make it a world that draws others closer to you. That is our prayer, our hope, our need, and for some, our desire this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.